And I have examined the trial record extensively and thoroughly and comprehensively. Of course, there were instances where the system did not perform at an optimal level of perfection. But as was well noted by the Supreme Court, no one is entitled to a perfect trial. They're simply entitled to a fair trial. When you look specifically at the evidence, those of us who were involved in any form of law enforcement, you know, be it on the, in the field or back in the courtroom, we all know that it is not so much direct testimony or eyewitness testimony that is substantive evidence of proof, but it is the circumstantial evidence that we wish to rely upon. And when you look at the circumstantial evidence that Officer Faulkner was shot by a charter armed bullet, and notwithstanding that the actual bullet itself was so significantly malign as to not conduct ballistic tests on it other than identify the bullet that it was, coupled with the fact that the defendant was found at curbside immediately in the immediate vicinity with a charter arm and five spent casings, what other inference can you draw from those two sets of facts other than Luna Abdul-Jamal shot Officer Faulkner?
In regards to the, you were talking about the eight lands and the eight grooves that made it consistent with the charter arms revolver.
Mm-hmm.
One thing the supporters point out is that was only mentioned by police ballistics expert Anthony Paul at Mumia's trial, and he actually didn't write that in his initial report, and he actually wrote that
there's no trial that is perfect. I mean, you know, we're all accustomed to CSI and Law and Order and all these nice televised scripts as to what occurred. Really, that's not what occurred, particularly when you look at 25 years ago, the opportunity or the advancements that we take for granted and see on TV today in forensic evidence were not available to us 25 years ago. The bone that is in everybody's throat is that Abdul-Jamal was convicted by the jury drawing an inference. And people are not totally comfortable with that. They don't like people being convicted and facing the death penalty based on inferences drawn by less than 100% facts. Here in this instance, we had only 90% facts, and the jury was asked to draw an inference from those facts. That's what people don't understand occurred, and people don't understand that's what has to occur in almost every trial that goes to court. Notwithstanding that, there is no allegation raised by any party or any party of interest, such as Pam Africa or any of these other people. There is no allegation or affirmation which anyone has raised which mitigates the two important, uncontroverted facts. There is none.
Okay, well, going back to the uncontroverted fact about the charter arms revolver, Anthony Paul was the police ballistics expert, and he didn't write about the eight lands and eight grooves in the original report. He actually said, that the general characteristics were indeterminable.
So what?
Well, you don't think that's a significant contradiction, that first he said you couldn't determine it, and then in court he said you could?
It still doesn't mitigate the fact that the bullet was a charter arm. No one has controverted or disputed that Officer Faulkner was shot by a charter arm bullet.
Well, that is in dispute, though, because it's the eight lands and the eight grooves.
No one
characteristics that
no one has ever disputed that. In a court of law, subject to cross-examination, that fact.
Well, actually, in the PCRA hearings in 1995, it was brought up. And that's actually what I'm coming from.
It wasn't subject to valid cross-examination. It was only a reputational allegation, and it dealt with the meaty process, not with the conclusion.
Well, the prosecution did actually cross-examine George Fastnacht. He was the ballistic expert brought by Mumia's defense team. And they did actually cross-examine him on it when he brought up this contradiction in Anthony Paul's report.
Still doesn't mitigate the fact that he was shot by a Charter Arms bullet.
But that's the evidence that ties it to the Charter Arms revolver, and he didn't write that in the original report.
You know what?
It was indeterminable, and it actually could not be tied to it. And then he changed his mind when he was on the stand.
So what?
All right, well, another thing, Amnesty International has criticized the fact that police didn't officially perform the smell and wipe tests. Do you think that that challenges the prosecution's theory at all?
It certainly makes it look stupid, but it still doesn't mitigate these two uncontroverted facts. What people are trying to attack is the bridge between fact one and fact two. A rumor of those of all was convicted on a different.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is, in our legal system, at least 75% of the people today are convicted on this. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to convict anyone.